The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Happy New Year and welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your celebrity hostess with the mostest, bringing the very best of the entertainment world and beyond to the airwaves every single week on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. We are winding down 2023 in a very special way as we will be chatting about some of the most notable and not so notable milestones that happened in the entertainment and pop culture worlds this year. This also seems like a good time to remind you that all of our past episodes can be listened to and savored on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And before we kick off this party, I want to welcome my partner in crime, the man who pushes all of my buttons, and the producer that makes all of the magic happen, the fabulous, the one, the only, Matt Mynarik. Happy New Year, Matt.
Happy New Year, Doreen.
Woo!
Thanks for giving me too much credit, but thank you.
No, you deserve it all and more.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year. It's
Happy
been
New
a year,
year too,
hasn't
too. It? It sure has. You always think that it goes by so fast, but then when you think back of everything that happened during that year, then you realize, okay, it didn't really go by that fast, but it just always seems that way.
As I get older, everything goes by, in my mind, a little faster.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Like, it's just like a blink of an eye now. When I was a kid, it was like everything. Waiting for Christmas when I was a kid, it took forever. It was like one day, felt like it was a year.
Oh, and now, especially Christmas Eve.
Yes, gone.
Christmas Eve is like a month long.
I know.
Until you can wake up, go downstairs or wherever and open up the presents.
I know. And now we're already past that. We're already now into almost 2024. We only got a few more days left.
Unreal.
I know.
Before you know it, it'll be almost 2025.
Don't say that. I'll take every day as it goes.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, gotta say, I wanted to do something really different because we always have guests come in and we always interview these people. But I think because it's the end of the year, it's been quite the year, 2023. I think we just kind of sum it up in the best way that we can. Just me and you, Matt.
Sounds good.
We talk about some of the things that are notable, some of the things that are not so notable, some of the things that are crazy, and some of the things that are just downright weird.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, before we get into all that, it was a good year, and it was a year of firsts for me in particular. We launched The Scene with Doreen on May 11th. Can you believe it? And since we've blown up to be one of the like top-rated shows on the number one talk radio station in Philly, that's pretty cool.
Unreal.
I know.
I got lucky to be the producer of the show because it's not like you just, you know, I just...
You drew the short
stick.
Because
we have a million shows here. It wasn't, no. I got the lucky one because I got to talk to some people that I'd never imagined. Even just briefly, just connecting their call or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to talk to some people. I thought
you got some of their private phone numbers, dude.
I do. Yeah,
you
we
do.
Save. That's why we
you
save stuff
them.
These days. You never know. I never use them, but it's cool to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just cool to talk to just some of these people that I'm like I'd never thought I'd ever get the chance to talk to.
What was your most memorable?
Wow. I thought it was really awesome to talk to Carl Lewis and Michael Carbonaro.
Really?
Because I love that show so much.
Yeah.
And just seeing somebody, you watch a show and you're entertained by somebody and you get to talk to them, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I got to say, it's like a pinch me moment. Like like you said, I watch a show and I've seen every episode maybe 3, 4, 5 times each. And then all of a sudden I'm having a conversation with this person. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
you're interviewing
them. It's surreal.
Yeah, it really is. That's awesome though.
And then you get the chance, like, what do you ask them? You know, and then you have to say, well, do I become like a professional person where I'm, you know, journalistic integrity and I have to ask them real questions? Or do I just like fangirl out and ask them like, oh, what's your favorite color?
Yeah. Well, I think if you go back to all the compliments you've gotten on or off the air by the people you've interviewed, I think you have a good way to interview people. You know the right questions to ask, and you know, it's not all the cookie cutter stuff that everybody else asks. So
I try at least to at least once every interview to have them go, wow, like
like kind of throw them back on a question where maybe they did not expect it, or like I dug a little too deep and they're like, how did you find that or something?
Yeah.
You know, never, not, I don't ever try to do the gotcha interview.
For this,
yeah.
The first 33 episodes, I think, is prepare. And yeah. They said, wow, you're prepared.
Well, hopefully in 2024, as we go forward, they'll just be like, they know I'm going to be prepared. And then we just open another corridor into even deeper interviews. But yeah. We've gotten pretty deep in some of our interviews.
You have. I mean, you've been called a therapist.
I was. I said, I want to start charging, maybe. I get a license and put in a couch in the studio, and we can, it could be a new thing.
Yeah. And then that
would
get
Frasier
them in.
Crane.
There you go.
I'm listening. Worked for him, and they even rebooted that this year.
That's right, they did. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. We're going to talk about a lot of the things that have been on the top of the list, like streaming and movies and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, just having the opportunity to interview some of these people. And I think 2024, just teasing a little bit, we're going to have some amazing guests coming in. You kind of know some of them, and I can't really say right yet, but...
This might even be bigger than last... this. 2023.
Yes, I would think we're going to top it. And like soon, I think a few coming in the next few months are going to be quite.
Absolutely.
Maybe somebody that's like a joker or something. Maybe, you know, it could even be practical or maybe impractical. I don't know.
They might be over teasing it there. They might have just gave it away.
What do you mean? Or, you know, just some interesting musicians. I seem to get a lot of musicians and I kind of love that.
Yeah.
I do. I love that. But, you know, never know who's coming in town and who's going to want to stop by. People that, you know, were partners with Jay-Z at one point. You know, just things like that.
Yeah. And it might take maybe not the highway to get here.
Yes.
Maybe they have a different term for it.
Yes. Of love. The blank of love. That was a hit, right? Back in the, was it the
Probably.
80s?
I have no idea.
I'm going to start singing it and then we'll have to pay royalties. So we're not going to do that. So... But, you know, it has a lot of the show has had a lot of milestones in 2023, but a lot of other things have had milestones.
You didn't say who was your favorite.
My favorite? Oh, see, I didn't want to say that. It's like children.
It is hard.
Because then one of them will be mad and say, well, why wasn't I your favorite? But
how about surprisingly better than you thought it would be?
There's been some where, honestly, Taylor Dayne. Was probably the one. I have always had the impression, like I do, as you know, I do a lot of research on the guests, and I had a feeling she might be difficult to interview. I don't know why, but I got that impression that, you know, maybe if it didn't go right, she could maybe not, you know, it might not be the nicest experience, but she was wonderful.
She was awesome. Yeah.
She was classy. She thanked me for having thoughtful questions. And we were supposed to only talk for 30 minutes. I think she ended up being over 45. So, I mean, it was just a wonderful experience to talk to her, and plus she was like one of my biggest first. She, you know, you never forget your first, and
yeah,
she
that was yeah, well, that was like five episodes in,
right in
around that,
right.
That
in.
Wasn't that far into
no,
you were still getting your footing.
I was cutting my teeth still,
yeah.
And she was right out of the gate, and I think that helped really just kind of define what the show was, and it was a good milestone for me, I think, and I think honestly it shaped everything where we are now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but all of them, every single show has had a milestone and something where I was like, wow, I learned something, or I laughed and I didn't expect to laugh. I cried, you know, who knows? But there was always something that I felt very special in every single interview.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Kind of like 2023. I laughed. I cried a little. And there's with good reason. So let's talk about maybe some of the other highlights. Besides the scene with Doreen that happened this past year. You're the first, you're the last, my everything. Oh, yes, we had a lot of firsts in 2023. And of course, there is a National Toy Hall of Fame. Yes, there is such a thing in Rochester, New York. And it inducted its 2023 class of toys, which included, let's go in reverse order, we had baseball cards, we had Nerf, and we had, play the clip.
Good parents make Cabbage Patch Kids.
The Cabbage Patch Kids. Each doll is different, and you can pretend to adopt them.
My baby has a real diaper.
You can love and care for them like your very own.
You're a pal. You're the only one. I love you. They're each one of a kind. They're Cabbage Patch Kids. You can give them all your love.
Cabbage Patch Kids are each sold separately. Each doll comes with a pretend birth certificate and adoption papers from Coleco.
Oh, man, and it was Cabbage Patch Kids. That was leading the pack of the 2023 class of toys. So, Matt, your thoughts on the toys this year?
Baseball cards.
Is that really a toy?
Not really.
God.
No, I would say it's a
hobby. They're collectibles.
Yeah, memorabilia, a hobby.
Right, collectibles. They make money. Oh, my God, my brother... You know, he wouldn't do anything. They were like in mint condition. They weren't even like open and stuff. That wasn't a toy to play with. You weren't putting them in the spokes in your bicycle, you know, the wheel of your bicycle.
It's just like Dallas Cowboys cards.
Do they even make football cards?
Yeah, they make everything.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
So then why not just regular sports cards? Why is just baseball cards then? That seems very kind of...
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know why it would take so long if they consider it a toy. Maybe it took them that long to... decide if it's a toy or not
to
put them in.
I do not think of them as a toy.
No,
and maybe I'll get letters, but I don't. I just don't see kids playing with them, training them, doing things. But again, it's more of a collectible kind
right.
of thing. And yeah, you're raised to not desecrate them, and you don't want to draw on them or put little mustaches and stuff on them
exactly.
as a toy. But Nerf.
Always had Nerf guns. Kids
yeah.
still have Nerf guns.
They're still doing it, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerf's a big thing.
That was always fun. You could shoot people without going to jail. And they won't get hurt.
Oh, you know, somehow I would have gotten hurt, though. There was always that. I was that person that even if it was like somehow it would have ricocheted, something would have fallen off the roof. You know, I'd poke my eye out and then that would be the end of it. Somehow I would have gotten hurt. But that's another story for another day. And then Cabbage Patch Kids, which was a big, that was like the 80s big,
yeah,
big toy.
They were ugly, too. And there were some ugly dolls. My sister had one.
Everyone had one.
But, yeah, I mean, you talk about making money. They have them now, but I know those original ones, they go for a lot.
And do you remember, like, I was doing the research and the news stories about people would, like, get in fights over these dolls and they would wait overnight to get them. And, I mean, they were literally causing these mass, like, you know, fights at department stores to get them.
Yeah.
And for a doll.
It seems like every year there's always that one toy that causes hysteria. I don't know
Why?
What it is this year. Remember a while ago, it was that Tickle Me Elmo?
Oh, that was a while ago. Yes,
yeah.
I remember that. And then there were some gaming systems that I think were real hot, but I don't think people were fighting over those.
No, not like this, I don't think. Yeah, those Cabbage Patch dolls, people were going nuts over those things.
People
just because,
in the 80s were nuts, man.
Yeah.
I mean, to fight over dolls, and these dolls that were kind of creepy to begin with.
Yeah, they were kind of weird looking, but they were marketed really well and made people want them.
Yes.
So...
Yes.
Yeah, I guess they did their job.
I remember getting one, and it was a boy, and I was so mad. I didn't want a boy. I wanted a girl doll, and because my parents only got the one they could, and it was Neville Benji. That was his name, was Neville Benji.
What?
That was his little birth certificate, and it was Neville Benji, yes. Uh-huh.
And as they said in the commercial, a fake birth certificate.
Fake, so I could smuggle him in
why,
and out of
why
the
would anybody think it was a real one?
It taught us a lot of stuff, I guess, when we were kids about, you know, getting a birth certificate and having a stork. Was it a stork or did it fall out of, like, it was grown, right, in a garden? Wasn't it,
yeah,
like,
cabbage
peas?
Patch.
Yeah, it was a crop, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, this is getting worse.
Kind of weird.
It's kind of getting worse, yes.
Yeah, when you think about it, yeah, that's kind of...
And people are fighting over them. That's what's even worse.
Yeah, imagine going harvesting kids.
Oh, God.
In the Cabbage Patch.
Oh, God. What kind of fertilizer you put on those things?
I don't know. They create their own.
They marinate in their own fertilizer. And this is totally going off in a bad direction.
Yeah, but congratulations, Cabbage
Yes,
Patch
congratulations.
Kids.
An honorable mention to the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, which was chosen by the popular vote to celebrate that it was the 25th anniversary of the Hall of Fame. I didn't even know it existed. It's been around for 25 years,
is that
apparently.
That loud thing that kids push around?
It was like a vacuum.
Yeah,
And it popped the things. Yes.
Should be not in the Hall of Fame.
You know, I guess it's because it's been around forever and you know what it is. I guess that's maybe why it
I
made it.
I guess so.
But that's why it was an honorable mention. It wasn't like the top toy, I guess. But I never had one. And I can't say that I would find the thrill.
You're not missing anything.
I would roll that for 10 seconds and be like, what's the point of this? And throw it away.
And it would be loud and you'd be yelled at saying, put that thing away.
I just don't understand the thrill. But speaking of not understanding the thrill, how's that segue? We also were inducting the 2023 class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm just going to let you play the clip to say who.
First up, breaking news in Pop Start. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just announced the inductees for the 2023 class. Let's take a look at who made the cut. All right, leading the list is the woman whose 1985 ballad recently made a massive resurgence, of course, Kate Bush.
Wow.
Followed by legendary singer Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Record-breaking rapper and producer Missy Elliott.
Yes.
The late, great George Michael.
All right.
Country icon Willie Nelson, who just has 90th birthday.
Wow.
Rage Against the Machine. And finally, the R&B group The Spinners.
Love that.
Oh, congratulations, everybody. But wait. There is more. This morning, the Hall of Fame also revealed which artists have earned this year's Musical Excellence Award. It goes to funk queen Chaka Khan. There you go. Singer-producer Al Kooper. And Elton John's legendary songwriting partner, Bernie Taupin.
Yes.
Okay, the induction ceremony is set for November 3rd at Barclays Center. And a big congrats to all the new Hall of Famers.
Well, there you go. And, I kind of interested before I say anything. What do you think of that list, Matt?
Very diverse.
A
lot of different music.
I don't see one rock and roll name on here, though.
Rage Against the Machine.
I don't consider...
what do you consider? They're like
heavy metal. But wasn't it funny? I was almost going to break up while you're playing the clip. Because they're like, you know, Kate Bush, whoa, you know, and Sheryl Crow, oh, yay. And then we got to Missy Elliott. Oh, you know, you got What's-His-Face, you know, loving her. You got George Michael, meh. And then Willie Nelson got quieter. And then they got to Rage Against the Machine, and not one person said one word. They were like... crickets. And then they went to Spinners and went, oh, okay. I don't think anyone on at the what is I think it was the Today Show knew who the heck even Rage Against the Machine was.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. They're like, oh.
And they were very like a political opinionated group kind of.
Yes.
They talk about that type of stuff. So maybe some people aren't fans because of that. I love the way they sound. I love their music.
I owned several of their albums, and I want to sing the one, the biggest one, but I can't because I would be bleeped right now if I sang the song that I'm thinking of right now. But I'm not real thrilled with this class, gotta say. And maybe people again, Kate Bush, really, she was an obscure person back in the day in the 80s. I don't even think she really had any major hits then. And just because they brought her back with Stranger Things with the song, now all of a sudden she's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because she had one resurgence of one song through a streaming show.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I just didn't think that out of all the people, I was like, meh. And, you know, of course, maybe Willie Nelson, but, you know, again, country. Missy Elliott, obviously rap. Sheryl Crow, I guess she might be close to rock and roll, but that's like singer-songwriter to me. So, yeah, I mean.
George Michael's pop.
He was pop.
Solo and when he was with Wham. Yeah. But I guess that's just what they call it, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it's every genre.
I wish they'd change it to the Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And just let's just do it, because every year there's always a controversy. These people and, you know, the real diehard rock and roll people are like, this is not rock and roll. Why are you doing this? I think they should just open it up and be honest what it is. It's the Music Hall of Fame. These are all the major, major artists that have made an impact in the music industry. Easy. I should do the marketing for it.
Yeah. And when maybe they're using more genres, because if you really just think of rock and roll, every year there probably wouldn't be a ton like worthy of Hall of Fame. Like,
no.
There's a lot of good rock groups.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot like that are like these days, maybe in the last 20 some years.
Well, they don't even make rock anymore. We had Larry Mazur on the show, who's a major manager for huge rock bands. I mean, we're talking Cinderella, Cheap Trick, major bands. And he said right here in the studio, there's no more rock and roll, and there probably won't be in his lifetime again.
Yeah, people just keep the title, but a lot of things change. Just like country music. You can't tell what's country or what's pop.
No.
I mean,
it's now they have hip-hop country. They have, like, actually they changed the word now, and I wish I could even think of what the term is now, but there's like an actual term where they've married the two like genres together, and they call it something completely different now. So there really is not one just, you know, back in the day it was put everything into a box. And this was, okay, this is rock, this is pop, this is this. And now I don't think there is anything. Everything's sort of blurred.
It should just be genreless music. It's just music. It's just, because if you like the way it sounds, you like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but yeah, it's just, there's too many genres and then subgenres. Like, I like metal, and then if you look at, there's got to be like 30 to 40 different subgenres
of metal. Liquid metal. Isn't there something like a liquid metal? There's heavy metal. There's death metal. There's thrash metal or something. I think I'm making these up right now. Is that right?
I think thrash metal. Yeah.
Does that sound right? I don't know where I'm getting this from. Well, because I partied one time on Slayer's tour bus. Yes, back in the day. Yes, I did. No, I really went. I got a free ticket. And I got pulled out of the crowd, and it was Machine Head, Biohazard, and Slayer.
Holy cow.
Talk about that show in Connecticut. That's where I was in college, yes, And they were all together on a tour, and tell you what, you would think that would be one heck of a party. It was a snooze fest.
Really?
It was boring. Boring, boring, boring. I was like, I party harder at college with my little, fraternity friends.
Were they playing, cards or something?
Well, it was in the strip club that was attached to the club next door. And at first you think, oh, that's cool. And no, they could care less that that's where it was. And they were just literally sitting around getting drunk around a table, kind of like falling asleep. I swear that was the excitement of it. Because they're kind of old now, I guess. So, yeah, it wasn't the best party in the world, no.
Damn.
No. But speaking of parties, we're having a party here today, down 2023. And we're talking about the highlights and the lowlights and the not so light and the dark of all of 2023. And I'm just here with my incredible producer, Matt, and we're breaking it all down. And we're going to break down more right after this.
Hi, it's Doreen Taylor. As a professional in the public eye, my face always has to be camera ready. Sera Balm by Danucera has been a game changer for my skin. It's a cleansing balm that removes my makeup, but can also be used as a nourishing mask and a super glowy moisturizer. I've never gotten so many compliments on my skin. Recipient of countless beauty awards and featured in Vogue and New York magazines, this multi-purpose balm is sustainably sourced and created by Danuta Milok, the founder of the award-winning Rescue Spa in New York and Philadelphia. Danucera is available to purchase at Rescue Spa, Bergdorf Goodman, and danucera.com. That's danucera.com. What does your furniture say about you? At Grossman Furniture, make it say exactly what you want. Carrying 200 leading brands, Grossman specializes in customizing furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. No extra charges. Select customized furniture at in-stock prices. Grossman Furniture has the friendly expert staff to make it easy. That's why Grossman has been the source for furniture in the Delaware Valley since 1929. Visit Grossman Furniture today in Old City with free parking or at grossmanfurniture.com.
Oh, yes. Welcome back and happy new year. And we are saying goodbye to 2023 and welcoming in 2024 in style here on The Scene with Doreen. I'm here with my incredible producer, Matt Menarek, and we're kind of just breaking it all down. And before the break, we were talking about the Toy Hall of Fame inductees and the Rock and Roll Fame inductees. But now we're going to talk about some interesting things. We're going to talk about words. Did you know there's a word of the year every year? They pick a word. I believe it was the Merriam-Webster word of the year. And they pick it because apparently they take a word that is just Googled or researched or looked up the most amount of times, whatever gets the most percentage, and they pick that as the word of the year. And I was kind of shocked because last year it was gaslighting. And
Makes sense.
I actually looked that up this year. I'm a little behind the curve because I was like, I'm not really sure. And there's this interesting story behind gaslighting, but I'm not going to get into that because that's last year's news. Oh, now
so
I know.
Old.
I know. 2022. Are you kidding me? Come on. We got to move on. So so this is the 20th anniversary of them picking the word.
Okay. I was going to ask.
20 years of this.
Before the internet. How did they figure this out? But if it's only been since the internet,
yes.
Makes sense.
Yes, internet, we're going to talk about milestones, and they're actually the WWW has only been around for 30 years. So 20 would make sense that they've been researching this. And so we're at the 20th anniversary, and what do you think the word was?
Well, something that was Googled. What?
What? What is?
Yeah, what is? The?
What is? Or the? Well, okay, so drum roll here. The 2023 Merriam-Webster Word of the Year is authentic.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
What you talking about? It's authentic. That's the word.
Why?
I don't know. Who would look up authentic?
That many times to make it the word of the year.
I know. It just doesn't seem right. I mean, first of all, I know what it means, so I'm not like going to be looking it up. It's not one of the words. Like,
what would you be looking up that would be authentic? Like, last year's word makes sense because it was like a newer word that you're not really familiar with, and it had, and you could tie it to stuff.
Yes.
Authentic, what would you tie it to? Authentic.
Well, they're saying apparently like authentic cuisine and authentic this. Like, it's a word that people have been throwing around a lot in marketing and things like that. So maybe people are looking, well, what the heck does authentic mean? Is it like, you know, some area of the, you know, the world? Well, is it a country?
It's not an authentic word.
It's not very authentic. I know. But, you know, like, because some of the runners up, they had kibbutz. Now, I understand why that would be, that with everything happening with, you know, Israel overseas, that was a word that I don't think was a common word that a lot of people maybe knew. So I could see that exploding with searches and stuff like that. But then, you know, the implode.
That could be tied to something.
Well, that was because, yes, because of that, you know, it feels like it was 20 years ago, but actually in this year we had the June 18th implosion of the Titan submarine. So a lot of people use the word implode, and they didn't realize what the difference was between implode and explode. So I guess people had to get the graphic definition online.
I mean, common sense will tell you if the opposite of what explode is.
Yes.
If it's not blowing out, then it'd be okay.
You know, but honestly, I can't really say that common sense is a big factor nowadays. So maybe that, we're kind of assuming too much. But yes, and doppelganger, which I've been hearing about for quite a while. I've been using a lot of these terms for a while.
Yeah,
it's
not a new word.
It's not a new word. It's just the word that has gotten
something
has
trying
prompted it back in the news, or somebody using it over and over that people are like, what does that mean? The coronation got researched a lot this year because of, obviously, we had King Charles III, and he actually had one on May 6th. So, of course, coronation was like, well, what's a coronation? And then things like deep fake. Apparently, that was a big thing with Tesla and a lot of the lawsuit. And there were deep fakes and a lot of stuff in the news about deep fakes and dystopian. And that's a big word, I guess. That's something that people maybe don't understand a lot. And I'm not going to get into that.
I don't think I do, but.
Well, I am not going to teach you today. I only have a little bit left in 2023, and I don't have the time to be teaching you dystopian. But, you know, I said I kind of agree with all of these words being, I see why they were kind of kicked in, except for authentic. That's the one I think is the one that's sort of scratch my head a little. Like, one other one, which I've never used, is Riz. R-I-S.
I've R-I-Z-Z. Never heard that.
Yes. I mean, it's slang for romantic appeal or charm, and it's seemingly short for charisma. Now, Riz.
Is people getting lazy?
I've never heard
short for
it.
Charisma, so you just say Riz. It's so. People are making up words because they're too lazy to say the full word.
But it's like people are looking it up. I've never heard it used even look it up.
What would they say? Oh, man, that person got good riz?
Yeah, I don't know.
That just sounds dumb.
That's a lot of these words. Because we're, you know, we're kind of talking about, you know, let's just go into the next section. Because apparently there were new words that were added, that were brand spanking new words that I guess they just fought and they had to add them into the dictionary. So, you know.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No, don't. I don't understand these words. Because let's just go through some of the ones that I found that were interesting. Because there were a lot of words that were added this year in 2023. Cakeage. It's kind of like corkage, isn't it? Like the corkage fee when you bring your own champagne and you need to pay because they cork it for you, they uncork it for you in a restaurant. Well, now they have cakeage, which is a fee charged by a restaurant for serving a cake brought in from the outside. Are you bringing cake in?
And how many people are bringing cake into
That's
a restaurant that they created a word for it?
I mean, seriously, is that like a thing? Am I bringing cake into a restaurant?
That just seems like an inconvenience.
It's weird.
What do you bring in a box and say, hey, can you cut this up and give it to us afterwards? I mean, I
don't understand. I guess a birthday party. I guess maybe that's it. When you're having a birthday party and you're bringing in a birthday sheet cake and you don't want to rely on their little, you know, tiramisu or their little stupid creme brulee that every place has. You want like an actual sheet cake. I guess that is the fee for cutting, like corkage, for bringing your own champagne in, BYOB. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess if that it happens that much that
I was going to say, a word have to be in
how many birthday parties you having that's not at make I mean, if you're going to bring a cake to a party or a restaurant, normally it's going to be a kid's birthday. And you would think that's going to be at like a Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know. I meet a lot of adults now and they want to have their parties like they're five again. And it's unbelievable. Everybody wants their cake and their moment. It's
like, so they could put it on like Instagram and TikTok.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot how much everybody wants attention these days.
Well, that's what a lot of these new words are. It's all about this new social media era we're in. It's not really new, but it's just evolving every single year. Like digital nomad. Now, first of all, that's not one word. That's ticking me off right then and there. It's two words. And apparently that term was added, and it's a noun. It's a person who works remotely while traveling for leisure, especially while having no fixed permanent address.
Isn't what? That homeless? I mean, if you don't have an address.
Vagabond.
Yeah, you don't have a home.
Nomad. I was sort of nomad.
There are homeless people that do work.
Yeah.
So they're probably doing it from different places if you're not doing it from wherever you're staying.
I don't understand that. Like, that term hurts my head a little.
And you're right. It is two words that are already in a dictionary. They just put it together.
Yes, I don't understand that. And I've never heard digital nomad. I just said we used to call it a nomad, somebody who wanders about and doesn't really have a place to call their own and does whatever they do while they're nomading, if that's a word. Maybe we should add that, nomading.
Nomad. Here we go. 2024 new words.
24 new words.
What are you doing today? I'm nomading.
I'm nomading. It's okay. And then we got nearly wed.
I was reading. What the hell is that?
It's a person who lives with another in a life partnership, sometimes engaged with no planned wedding date, sometimes with no intention of ever marrying. I just call that a jerk off.
Yeah, why?
A guy who has, or a woman who literally cannot, like, can't commit. How about that?
Yeah, why would you get engaged and then never get married? I mean, because you would think that would have to be agreed upon both parties to say, all right, we're engaged, but if we never get married, so that's your forever fiance? I mean,
I guess maybe the girl wanted the ring. And then the guy wanted to do it because he's going to say, I'm claiming my territory here, but I just don't ever want to go through with the ceremony or ever actually give you my name.
Stupid word.
Stupid word.
Dumb one.
We're going to hellscape, which I actually thought was a word. I don't
know.
Cool. It isn't. You know what? The word is not at all new. Apparently, records date it to the late 1890s, but use has massively increased in recent years. And so they had to add it actually to the... I guess people have used it. It just never was actually added to the dictionary. And it means a place or time that is hopeless, unbearable, or irredeemable. That's like the story of my life. That's just called life. Yeah. It's hopeless. Oh, unbearable. That's just like Doreen Taylor's life right there.
Let me play the violin.
I know. And then we have, speaking of that, anti-fragile. Yes, it's an adjective, becoming more robust when exposed to stressors, uncertainty, or risk. Anti-fragile.
Aren't there other words for that?
I think there are other words. That's what's like, I don't understand. Yes. And trauma dumping. That's again, two words that
trauma
they decided
dumping.
To stick together that I don't understand, which is an unsolicited, one-sided sharing of traumatic or intensely negative experiences or emotions in an inappropriate setting or with people who are unprepared for the interaction. So I guess you're just dumping your trauma onto other people. Is that like what that is, I guess?
Yeah, I guess so. You could be in a public place and you're just talking about your hemorrhoids or something. And people just aren't ready to hear about it.
I do that all the time. Oh my God, I'm a trauma dumper. Oh my God, now I get it. I understand why I have no friends and everything is hopeless, unbearable, and irredeemable. Oh, but we're going to just go to cyber flashing. Now, that's a new word. Now, that they actually made into one word. And it is exactly what you think it is. And it's the instance of sending someone unsolicited, unwanted, sexually explicit images or video using digital platforms. I've never quite heard it called cyber flashing.
Yeah, I guess they just took all of what we're thinking right now and just combined it into one word.
Yes. And a petfluencer. Instead of an influencer, it's a petfluencer.
That's my least favorite word.
Isn't that awful?
Influencer.
I hate it too. And now they're adding other things in front of influencer. That just seems wrong. It's like taking, agony and just adding to it.
Now you're adding your pets?
Making it a hellscape. I'm just saying. They're making this a hell. See, I'm using these now. It's, I feel so good. But that was a person who gains a large following on social media by posting entertaining images or videos of their cat, dog, or other pet.
That's stupid.
That's stupid.
Your pet has idea what you're doing.
That's stupid.
You're gaining a following by using your pet.
Well, you know it's not for their pet. These people have they don't give a crap about their pet. It's that they want to be famous through their pet because their pet's cuter than they are. You know that.
Yeah. This is, man. People these days, I tell you.
I know. And then we have like a million others, but I'm like looking through my list because I could stay here all day. Bedwetting. Isn't that a word that's always been there?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Is that too close to home? So I think, I don't know. Should we keep going here or do you want to take a little bit of a break and a pause? Because I think that was a lot to absorb with the words.
Yeah, I have to catalog some of these new words in my brain.
You got
so I can remember not to use them.
Add them to your autocorrect because I'm sure they're not coming all up on my phone right now. Maybe they are. I do not know. But we are highlighting 2023 in a very interesting way. And we're going to keep going with this train right after these messages.
Gratz Gallery and Conservation Studio offers full-service art conservation and 40 years' experience in buying and selling fine American art. Our gallery, located in Bucks County's historic Doylestown, Pennsylvania, is the leading authority on 19th and 20th century American art, specializing in Pennsylvania Impressionists, students from the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and the Philadelphia 10. The Gratz Gallery is now expanding and actively buying fine art collections and individual paintings. Contact us to arrange a private viewing, a free consultation, or a professional appraisal. For more information, call 215-348-2500 or visit GratzGallery.com.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy, we sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
What does your furniture say about you? At Grossman Furniture, make it say exactly what you want. Carrying 200 leading brands, Grossman specializes in customizing furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. No extra charges. Select customized furniture at in-stock prices. Grossman Furniture has the friendly expert staff to make it easy. That's why Grossman has been the source for furniture in the Delaware Valley since 1929. Visit Grossman Furniture today in Old City with free parking or at grossmanfurniture.com.
7 years in the making. The next chapter of Corvette. A supercar of contrasts. It's everything you never expected. One like none.
Oh, yes, we are back with The Scene with Doreen. And that wasn't a commercial that you were hearing. That was actually a clip that we included because we are going to talk about feeling old right now. We're going to talk about the milestones and the anniversaries that happen. I'm here with Matt Manaric right now on The Scene with Doreen talking about 2023 and the things that happened that a lot of people maybe didn't know happened. And 70 years, the Corvette. That was the birthday. 70 years old this year. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
70-year-old. It looks good for 70.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of the Corvette.
It's
just the way it looks. That and like that style, the body style, that and the Trans Am and all that.
Yeah.
Just never been into it. But
nose. I never really liked that real long kind of needle nose. That was never like the look I liked. But I'll tell you, they're electric now. Who would have ever thought a Corvette would turn electric?
Crazy.
I know.
Hey, but more people liked them than didn't.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they still wouldn't be around.
70 years.
That's
but
awesome,
okay,
though.
So I was gonna say, you want to feel old, Matt? Let's just go through some of these and see. Yes, let's just see how things have sort of. We were talking about time passing earlier in the show very fast. Yeah, 30 years ago, World Wide Web this year, it launched on April 30th, 1993. That's wow. 30 years of the internet.
I was a sophomore in high school.
You're dating yourself. You're not supposed to do this. I wasn't born yet.
Who knows? I could have been a genius and just been in high school and
yes,
at 5 years
that's
old.
That's true. That's true. You could have been like the Big Bang Theory and you could be like Sheldon Cooper.
Sheldon, yeah.
Yes. 50 years ago this year was Secretariat winning the Triple Crown.
All right.
Yeah, that was June 9th on 73.
Good job, horse racer.
Yes. 65 years ago, the first gold record that was ever awarded, and it was awarded to Perry Como in March 14th, 1958. Catch a Falling Star was the song. So there you go. I said the first Corvette was 7 years old this year, June 28th, 1953. And also 7 years ago was the first televised Academy Awards, March 19th. 1953. 90 years ago, President Roosevelt legalized beer and wine.
Thanks, buddy.
March 22nd, 1933. And I'm not saying they're connected here, but in 90 years ago, the Loch Ness Monster's first sighting happened just about a month, maybe and a half later, on May 2nd, 1933. I'm just saying maybe the beer and wine had a little to do with that. I know it was Scotland, but still, it might have, you know.
People are still seeing it.
And 90 years ago, the first drive-in movie theater ever opened in June 6, 1933. But what's really cool about that, that's right in our backyard.
That is all. I didn't know that.
Camden Drive-In, Pennsauken, New Jersey. Yes, right on the, I believe it's the Admiral Wilson Boulevard. Yes, it opened.
That is awesome.
Yes, so see, Jersey, we're good for something. You know, once in a while we have a first. But that, I thought that was interesting. In 100 years, this is the big one. Walt Disney Company this year was October 16th, 2023. They're 100 years old this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know they're having some issues with Steamboat Willie. Isn't that the one with the Mickey Mouse and that whole? And
the very first.
Kind of running out now. The copyright is running out and people are like, ooh, you know, now is it going to go into public domain because it's 100 years?
Right.
So there's like an issue with that. So that'll be interesting to watch this year. And 115 years, we talked about the Corvette for 70, 115 years, the anniversary, the first Model T. October 1st, 1908.
115 years.
Yeah, they've been driving the Model T.
And when you think about it, I mean, just from then till now, just how far vehicles have come. Because in the grand scheme of things, 115 years isn't that long from the start of something to like now.
Right, right. And, 120 years, which is older than the car, the teddy bear first made its appearance February 15th, 1903. I guess that was Teddy Roosevelt was the, I believe, the namesake for that.
Yeah.
And then 120 years this year that we celebrated the anniversary of the first World Series. October 1st, 1903, the Boston Americans, which are now the Boston Red Sox, won the overall series in 8 games, by the way. Against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the first World Series.
I wonder what the attendance was. That'd be interesting.
Then they called it front row and back row, and they called like certain like terms back then that I was like, I was trying to research. I said, I'm not sports. This is making my head hurt. And I said, it's enough. I just know it's the anniversary, and that's all I'm going
to
do.
That's back in the day where all the guys wore suits to games.
Yes.
You would see pictures of like all sporting events back then, and everybody would be dressed nice.
It's true. It's true.
Now some people don't even wear shirts.
No. Or they should, but they don't.
Yeah.
120 years ago, same, the anniversary, windshield wipers were patented by Mary Anderson, November 10th, 1903. So we can see in the rain. Thank you to Mary Anderson. 120 years ago this year. 150 years, big milestone. Levi jeans made their first appearance May 20th, 1873. 205 years ago, Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, was published on January 1st, 1818. So Frankenstein's turning 205 years old. He's looking good. He looked bad even then, though. He sort of kind of never really got better.
No.
And a big, big one, 250 years ago. And it just happened, Boston Tea Party. It was December 16th, 1773. That's the anniversary, 250 years ago. But that's about like the beginning of when you talk about American, you know, I think we go back maybe 400-something years with John Smith and stuff. But really the 2,775th anniversary or birthday is the anniversary of Rome. And that is the oldest thing I could find. It was April 21st, 753 BC.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So that was this year. We celebrated the 2000. What do you even call that? 2,775 years.
Just old.
Old. That's just old.
Yeah. I mean, if your birthday's that long ago, it's just old.
Yes. Well, speaking of old, and unfortunately, we also had a very sad moment. And of course, every year we see the passing of a lot of our icons and our celebrities. And unfortunately, in 2023, we saw that a lot of our favorite celebrities left us. And it seemed like this year was increasingly tough on musical icons. But it didn't spare some of our greatest actors as well.
Breaking right now, Eyewitness News has learned actor Matthew Perry has been found dead. We've learned first responders arrived.
Sad breaking news to tell you. We are just receiving word that legendary singer and songwriter Tina Turner has died. Turner died in her home in Switzerland after battling a long illness, according to her manager.
Breaking news, legendary and iconic game show host Bob Barker has passed away. He was 99 years old.
We have just confirmed this news. Barker was most well known for hosting, of course, The Price is Right.
Paul Rubens, the actor known for his portrayal of Pee-wee Herman, has died at the age of 70 after a private battle with cancer. A statement.
Sad news overnight. Singer Jimmy Buffett, who inspired millions of fans with hits like Cheeseburger in Paradise and, of course, Margaritaville, has died. But his music and his legacy live on.
Got some breaking news here out of the Midwest. Longtime talk show host Jerry Springer is dead at the age of 79. He hosted the Jerry Springer Show.
Lisa Marie Presley, the only child of Elvis, dead at 54. Her mother, Priscilla, confirming the news. It is with a heavy heart that I must share.
We're following some breaking news out of Hollywood. Actress Raquel Welch has died. Welch rose to fame in the 1960s, acting in films such as Fantastic Voyage and Today.
I do want to get to some sad breaking news in the entertainment world here. Alan Arkin, the character actor who demonstrated versatility in everything from comedy to drama, has died. He was 89 years old. His son's Adam.
We have some breaking news to share with you this morning. Iconic singer Tony Bennett has died. The 20-time Grammy winner is best known for his hit, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
But we do begin with that breaking news from the music world. ABC News is learning that Irish singer Sinead O'Connor has died at the age of 56. In a statement,
actor and comedian Richard Belzer has died. He was 78. He was a stand-up comedy legend, but also found more success later in his career playing Detective John Munch.
Legendary composer Burt Bacharach has died at the age of 94, leaving behind an unforgettable legacy.
We got breaking news here in HQ. Hockey Hall of Famer Bobby Hall, the Chicago Blackhawks legend, has died. Hall played 15 seasons.
The entertainment world is mourning the death of actress and businesswoman Suzanne Somers. Her longtime publicist says Somers passed away at her home yesterday.
Grammy award-winning artist David Crosby has died, according to a source close to the singer. Crosby was part of two all-time great bands from the 60s, The Byrds.
Yes, 2023 was definitely a year where we lost a lot of iconic celebrities, musicians, just people that I think we grew up with. And Matt, I forgot some of these people when I started going through and I was looking to find the people. And there were so many. I had to narrow it down because, you know, it's only an hour show. And it's unfortunately we lost a lot of people. Who hit you, I think, the hardest on that list? Because a lot of them surprised me. I didn't even know they died this year. And I was like, oh, yeah, that happened this year.
Yeah, probably Matthew Perry. He was so young. He was getting his life together, and we're just big fans of Friends at our house.
Yeah.
So you see him more often probably than a lot of these other actors. So just seeing, you don't think of him as Matthew Perry, you think of him as Chandler Bing a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was unexpected. Some of these people, while it's unfortunate when anybody passes.
You kind of knew it was coming. 99 Bob Barker.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a wonderful life, you know, like Betty White last year or 2 years ago, I think it was. You know, 100 or just barely short of 100. You know, you kind of.
It's not as shocking.
Yes, yes.
What about you?
Well, like I was going to say about Matthew Perry, I agree with you. I was never a big Friends fan, but I do know that when you kind of invite someone into your home every Thursday night or every Friday night or whatever it was, you become like family to these people. You do start to identify with them and have a relationship with them, even though their character is playing a role on TV. So I think for a big generation, that sort of hit hard For me, I think it was Paul Reubens who played Pee-wee Herman. I think that one because I just always felt like he was the forever child. And to hear that, A, he was 70, and B, he just died of cancer. And I really always felt sorry for him. I followed his career, but it would have been somebody I would have been fascinated to interview. The fact that he really got a bum's rush with the whole, I don't know if you know the story, but quickly that he was in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Yes. And that he was caught doing something in the movie theater. And he never really was, he was ostracized from the celebrity community. He never really came back. He had to re-identify himself many times, reinvent himself many times, and kind of do these roles. But he just sort of, they were mean to him about that. And it's like, I see so much more happen now with celebrities, and they kind of forgive, they forget, they and they never really forgave him. And I always felt bad for him that way.
And I think it's, a lot has to do with how somebody looks too, because he has, if you think about what he did and in that movie theater and then how he looks, it's just, so some people it might seem creepier because he just looks like that younger guy, you said, forever
like child. A child.
He entertained more to kids than any other. Yes. Type of
Well, the thing
group.
Is, he didn't start that way. His first series, Pee-wee's Playhouse, was dirty. It was HBO or one of these cable people ran it. It was a live show, and it was dirty. And then they kind of thought, oh, well, this could be good for kids, which, A, who and a studio greenlit that and said, oh, yeah, this is great. Let's just dumb that down and bring that to kids. Because there were always a little, when you watch it, and I sometimes will go back and watch some of these episodes, and I'm like, oh, there's some little under... belly things going on there that, some little hidden things that are kind of dirty. So, they kind of pushed him into a role that I don't think he wanted. And I mean, he had great success doing it, but I just kind of felt bad that he was never really able to be his true self either.
Yeah.
I think now he would be. But
he's always Pee-wee Herman. No matter what he would be in afterwards, he's always, he's typecat, he's Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah, yeah, he tried some serious roles, and they gave him some acclaim there for some critical acclaim, on some of the movies he was trying. But no, it sort of would always come back, or it would just, extinguish quickly that any, success he had. So, yeah, I think that was the one where I always felt like he'd have his second act somewhere, and it just never quite happened because, we lost him this year. So, yeah, I think that was my hardest one. So, yes, on that cheerful note. I think you want to take a little bit of a break, come back in, and we're going to just talk about the top movies, the top streaming, the future of streaming, and just let's wrap it up with some predictions for 2024. So stay tuned.
Hi, it's Doreen Taylor. As a professional in the public eye, my face always has to be camera ready. Sara Bomb by Donucera has been a game changer for my skin. It's a cleansing balm that removes my makeup, but can also be used as a nourishing mask and a super glowy moisturizer. I've never gotten so many compliments on my skin. Recipient of countless beauty awards and featured in Vogue and New York magazines, this multi-purpose balm is sustainably sourced and created by Danuta Milok, the founder of the award-winning Rescue Spa in New York and Philadelphia. Danucera is available to purchase at Rescue Spa, Bergdorf Goodman, and danucera.com. That's danucera.com.
Gratz Gallery and Conservation Studio offers full-service art conservation and 40 years' experience in buying and selling fine American art. Our gallery, located in Bucks County's historic Doylestown, Pennsylvania, is the leading authority on 19th and 20th century American art, specializing in Pennsylvania Impressionists, students from the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and the Philadelphia 10. The Gratz Gallery is now expanding and actively buying fine art collections and individual paintings. Contact us to arrange a private viewing, a free consultation, or a professional appraisal. For more information, call 215-348-2500 or visit GratzGallery.com.
Yes, welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I am, of course, Doreen Taylor, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the show, and welcome to closing out 2023 with my great producer, Matt Menark. And we're counting down some of the amazing things that happened, some of the people we lost, some of the words that have been added. So many things happened in 2023. And, of course, we're a celebrity entertainment-based show, so we have to talk about the top movies that happened this year. And we had a quite a year for movies. Movies came back with a vengeance after COVID. It was kind of nice and exciting to see how the box office results kind of came back when people were so wary to come back. And now all of a sudden, we had 12 films that crossed the $400 million mark, and eight of them grossed over $500 million. I mean, two hits were on the list of the billion-dollar global box office earners. And that's just in 1 year. It's unbelievable, the rebound after COVID. So three out of the top 10 films, including there was the record-shattering The Super Mario Brothers, they're animations. So it's good to see the trends that are happening. And we do have our first woman director, solo female director, earning the $1 billion mark. And that is huge in the world of entertainment. It's never happened. There are only $28 billion grossing Hollywood movies and they have a solo director, and they're all men. So this is the first one that has ever had a woman.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that kind of gives you a teaser of what we're talking about here, but let's just count them down. So number 12 this year, the highest grossing, and they're these kind of figures. I pulled these off, because they kind of vary from site to site, but this seems to be the they fall within a little bit of each other, but this seems to be the one that I wanted to go with. Number 12 was John Wick, Chapter 4. Number 11, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts. Number 10 was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I don't know. Number 9 was Elemental. Number 8 was Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. Number 7, The Little Mermaid, the live-action remake. Number 6 was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Number 5 was Fast X. Number 4, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Number 3, Oppenheimer. Number 2, which I mentioned earlier, was the Super Mario Brothers movie. And we're down to, drumroll please, the number one movie of 2023. And if you're living under a rock, you probably do not know this. But for everybody else, let's just hear what it was. Oh, yes. The top movie of 2023, which I still don't understand, was, of course, Barbie. And yeah, that was our top movie. And that was what I talked about. Our first solo female director crossed the billion-dollar mark worldwide. That's quite an accomplishment, to say the least. And yeah, it was on Barbie. What do you think, Matt, of those movies? Have you? OK, let me ask you, Matt. You seen any of those movies?
I saw Spider-Man. That's it.
I'm looking down the list. None. I have seen none of these movies.
I do want to see Ant-Man and the Wasp. I like Marvel movies.
Apparently, yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I haven't seen that, but I would like to.
Yeah.
John Wick's entertaining, but
I've seen the first three. But once you've seen the first three, I don't think it probably is much different from the first three. Once you kind of understand the theme of the John Wick movies, you kind of just I heard it's very good, but. Yeah, I also heard the first three were, and they didn't really do much for me. So, yeah. I mean, I like action movies. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather have that than any kind of romantic comedy. I hate romantic, crappy movies. I really don't like them. I want shoot 'em up. I want action. I want thriller. I want, horror movies. Yeah, so it's not like that. But, I haven't seen any. So I can't really talk about any of these because I don't want to see Barbie. I really don't.
There any that you plan on seeing? That you would like to?
I think Elemental I'll probably see because I think it's a Pixar. I believe that's a Pixar, and I like all of those. Eventually get to all of those. Oppenheimer, maybe. I just think it's long, and I have the attention span of like a piece of lint. I can't, I really can't sit there and watch things for too long. I had that problem with the Batman that was 3 hours long. I just can't sit there for that long. I got to do something else. So probably not. I really can't say that I would want to see these. I guess if they were forced in front of me, I would. But no, I'm not a Marvel girl. I've never been a big superhero person. So, no. So, yes, I'm kind of not the person to talk to about movies. But someday we'll have a movie expert come on here, maybe, and they'll enlighten me. But let's get into the trend of some things that I have seen, because I think the trend of everybody is sort of going from the big screen to more of the little screen in someone's home. We have the top 15 most streamed shows of 2023. Oh, yes. And again, if you're living under a rock, you would not recall what that sound effect was. That is, of course, the Netflix little intro that they always play before a movie. And I've heard it many, many times. But let's just go through the top 15. I'll rattle them off. There's no real order here. I think this is the order. But The Last of Us was on HBO. Ginny and Georgia. I believe that's what that says. New Amsterdam. You. Succession. Beef. Jury Duty. Ted Lasso. Suits. The Witcher. Black Mirror. What the heck does that? Ahsoka? I believe that says that. Or Ahsoka. I have no idea what that is. Never even heard of it. I know. One Piece, Loki, and The Crown. Now, on this list, how many have you seen?
I've seen The Last of Us. It was really good.
I started it, never finished it.
Succession?
I watched all the way up until the season. I have not seen the season
yet. It's entertaining, I guess, but it's just...
Yeah,
it lost me a little.
I kind of want to know how it ends just because I was vested, you know, into it for so long. I kind of want to just see how it ends. But
Ted Lasso, that's one of my favorite.
I watched You. Oh, see, I never saw that. Everybody loves that.
Oh, I love it.
Everybody. When I come into a series and it already has like 6 or 7 seasons, I can't sit still for that many, you know. So I kind of just go, you know, I'll hear about it somewhere else. I watched You the first, I believe, 2 seasons, and I stopped with that one. I gotta say, I haven't seen any of the others, but I did watch Jury Duty. Have you seen that, or have you heard of this, Jury Duty?
No, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. I forget what it's even about.
It's the makers, The Office, the people who made The Office, came and they do this. You're obviously on jury duty, and 11 of the people on the jury are actors. Everyone's an actor, except for one person. So it's really a reality, but the one guy doesn't know. And Michael Marsden's in it. You like your, you know, movies. Isn't he one of the Marvel guys?
Yeah.
James Marsden. That's it. Not Michael. James Marsden. Isn't it? He's one of the Marvel guys.
I think so.
Yeah, he does one of the roles. But he's like in there playing himself. And it's just funny. And then they reveal it to him.
Out.
It's really, really cute. And I got to say, it was on one of those free, I think it's on Netflix now. But when I watched it, it was like Freevee or something, like one of those free sources. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched, but the trend is happening, and it seems like this year, instead of tuning into brand new series, a lot of the viewers were preferring to catch up on new seasons of their favorites. They were just doing like Succession and Ted Lasso, and you know. So, Ginny and Georgia, never seen. Shadow and Bones, second season, never saw. The fourth season of You, I've missed 2 seasons already. And, of course, Succession, which was the series finale. So that was really, they were very popular. And The Last of Us, I did not know, was a video game.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was based on a video game, kind of like the Resident Evil. I loved all the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, that's how it started. And it was good. Pedro Pascal, really good actor.
Now, it's signed on for another season, correct? Yeah, I think it's coming back. Yeah. So that's cool. I guess I got to watch that one. I did start, and it was kind of like, it was heavy. It was a heavy show, but
it
I like that.
Is.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it.
All right, it's cool. Oh, everybody, you heard that first. Matt says you got to watch it. Now, with 2024 coming, I guess we're looking forward to the future of streaming. And even though subscription costs are on the rise, everybody can't deny it. Everything is always increasing. There's an interesting development for viewers on a very tight budget. There are a lot of free ad-supported streaming television called FAST, F-A-S-T services like Pluto, and they're gaining traction. So they provide access to a lot of popular shows at no costs, and you just have to sit through some ads. But I think there's going to be a lot of competition coming in 2024, and I think even more so. But even though there's a lot of move towards it, there's still a shift, I think. And Netflix still maintains, you know, the market leader, and I think they will. I don't see anything falling out in 2024. I don't know. What do you think,
definitely,
Matt?
Yeah, it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
We're going to keep seeing more new platforms come out, I think, just like you, Canyon Stars TV,
yes.
You interviewed
last
him.
Last week, he was there's on the
another,
show.
There's
yeah.
a new platform.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what service caters to the most people.
Yes.
Is what would be most popular.
What I'm seeing happen a lot, too, is a lot of them are merging now. A lot of them are starting to, like, I believe HBO Max and Discovery Plus, they merged. So that was a huge thing where they just kind of absorbed each other's content. Now that's a huge source. So
Discovery Plus is one of the best streaming platforms.
So you're going to see now that's all Max. So now you're going to see that there's a huge shift towards these, like, big. And then is there such a thing as a monopoly? I don't know. Will there ever be, you know, I'm not sure. At what point do we call it a monopoly where they're taking over? And I don't know.
Speaking, going back to Netflix, do you remember when Netflix first started, how you got the movies?
Didn't they mail them to you?
Yeah.
And then you had to send them back?
Yeah.
It was like snail mail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got like, I think three movies or something at once you could have, and then you had to return them. It was kind of like the mail-in version of Blockbuster, but then it went to streaming once that started. But yeah. It's crazy to think that's what Netflix was.
And interesting enough, I believe in 2023, the last subscription for Netflix actually ended. I thought I saw a news story about that.
The last mail?
I believe so, the last
person. I didn't know
that
they were still doing that.
I thought they had like a few that were kind of just being grandfathered out. And I believe, I got to look that up.
They're sitting at the headquarters like, just unsubscribe, you're done with this.
Who had that like kind of, just that... whatever drive to just keep doing that and mailing it back. That just seems...
They had to have been like 90 years old.
They don't know what they were watching anymore.
No.
Yeah, they were like, oh, okay.
Golden Girls.
Oh, man. You know what, though? I think we are going to close the chapter on... let's go into music now. Let's just talk about the year in music. We'll just like touch on that real fast, but... based on the combination of their sales, online streams, audio and video, and radio airplay, here are the top three tunes of 2023 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Yes, those are your top three tunes of 2023 in order. 4 weeks at the top of the chart was Taylor Swift, Cruel Summer. 8 weeks was Miley Cyrus's Flowers. And at 16 weeks, Morgan Wallen, Last Night. And speaking of Taylor Swift, and I think everyone in the frickin' media is, live concerts came back with a vengeance in 2023 after COVID, seeing two female pop performers dominating the stage. Taylor Swift's Era Tour was the first musical act tour to ever gross over $1 billion. It actually brought in a whopping $1.04 billion, with 4.35 million tickets sold across 60 tour dates. And the runner-up was Beyoncé's Renaissance Tour, earning more than $579 million worldwide, with 2.7 million fans attending across 56 dates in 39 cities. The two music icons raised the stakes by releasing films through AMC, documenting those performances. And yes, I think we are seeing that is the year of the woman in 2023. We had the first female director grossing over $1 billion. We also had, you know, Taylor Swift with $1 billion on a tour. And we're also seeing the trend of things coming back, live entertainment, live music, movies, just coming back after COVID. I see that there's a craving and people just want to get back out and do things.
And I'm glad, too, because I know there was talk and there was a lot of concern after COVID what would rebound and what wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that everything's coming back and a lot of it even stronger is very encouraging, especially for the next couple of years to come.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I hope things continue. I really hope to see. I think there's always like a pendulum and things will swing. And right now we're on the upside and things will start to come back in the middle a little. I think people will, because let's be fair, though, these concert tours that we're talking about, they're a fortune to go to. And I think the costs are starting to become prohibitive to a lot of people to go see live music. But I always say, go see people in a club. Go see people at your local bar. Go see your local musicians playing. That's the people that you really need to support. Those are the people.
And you'll enjoy them just as much.
Maybe more.
Exactly.
I gotta tell you, I've seen some incredible local musicians who just give their all. And it's just about the music. It's about the song. It's about whatever. But, you know, a lot of these shows are great. And I'm not taking away from anything they do. But, you know, sometimes support your local live
musicians. Just because the world doesn't know who they are doesn't mean they're not good.
No.
They just haven't been discovered yet.
Some of the best performers I've ever heard have never made it. And the ones that I hear make it are not always the best.
Yeah,
and
some you wonder, like, who thought that was good?
I think that all the time. And, you know, a lot of people know my opinions of even some of the people I just played in the montage. You know, I there's some things that I just don't understand, and I don't know if I'll ever understand, but that's not my job, I guess. I just don't go to see the show. Yeah, I support my local live music.
There you go.
Yes, but I think we've kind of talked everything today. I mean, as much as that we can in this short amount of time. And I just think we should maybe do some fun little 2024 predictions. Kind of maybe we can pull this out like a time capsule next year if we're still doing the show together, which I assume we still will. Right, Matt?
I would imagine.
Sign you on. I hope so. You got to sign in blood here that you're going to be stuck with me. You're staying. But I would love to say some of the things that maybe we predict are going to happen, and then we'll pull it out and see who was right, who was closer. And,
okay.
So let's see. Well, the easiest one, Super Bowl winner. And I guess we're going to talk about the Super Bowl in, what is it, February this year? Is it February?
Yeah, and as we're recording this, the team that I would have been 100% confident in 4 weeks ago,
yeah,
they're not playing up to snuff right now. But you know what? I'm still going to believe in them. I still think, they
the
can pull it
win.
Together. And sure, I think that they still have a shot. So why not?
You're going to say
Eagles. I'm picking
Eagles.
Yeah.
Eagles, okay. So you're going to say Super Bowl winner. Okay, Eagles. I'm going to go... Oh, man. I want to go with the Bills just because I want to say that.
They're playing. I think the Eagles pissed them off. They're playing
I'm
really
telling
well
you,
right
and
now.
I was at that game, and they should have been a little PO'd by that game. I'm telling you what, that game, oh. But yes, I would want to say them, but if I could, I would, but I don't think so. But I'm going to go 49ers.
Yeah, they're playing the best right now.
Yeah.
So it definitely wouldn't be a surprise
if
they won. So we'll see.
All right, so let's go to World Series winner.
Ooh.
Because we got a lot of time. We don't even have this. We're not even in the middle, starting the season yet. So we can pick anybody. I might just pick like somebody random.
There's still two of the biggest moves, I think. The Yankees traded for Juan Soto and the Dodgers signed Shohei Ohtani. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. The Yankees made a lot of improvements that they needed to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's still a lot of the offseason to go until spring training even starts. But as of today, I think I'm going to say the Yankees. I'm going to have them bounce back because...
You're going to be a Yankees. Well,
a lot of their weaknesses, I think they fixed. Now, we'll see.
All right. Okay, so you heard that first, my listeners. I'm going to go Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say that because sometimes I pick things that are just weird and things that just pop into my head.
So they're going to come back,
mm-hmm.
return to the World Series and win it this year.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, I think so. It's sad that we're both not picking Phillies, though, this year. Do you see that little trend there happening?
Well, they haven't really done anything this offseason. They've re-signed Aaron Nola, and they signed some minor bench pieces, but they didn't do anything really to show that they've improved the team.
Right. Agreed. Or fix the holes that they had.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, so we got sports out of the way. I mean, there are other sports things, like, that. Am I missing something? Who will win the U.S. Open or something
stupid
like that? See, like, I have no idea. But, I think those are your big two. And then the price of gas. Right now, I think as of today, we are 3.068. That's the national average gas price right now. So what do you think the national average, will it go up, will it go down, and by how much?
I didn't know it was that low because it's like 330 around here.
Well, that's because this is the average national average.
Yeah. I'm wondering
we're getting screwed
that
here.
That means it's under three somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where's that?
I don't know. I should drive to find it, but by then I would waste the gas and I'd be defeated.
That's true.
Yeah. So
I know nothing about how gas prices go up and down. I just go get gas. But I'll say... If 306 is the national average, let's go with 295 would be the national average by the end of this year.
Ooh, you're going down.
Sure. But it'll still be up here.
I'm going to say this is like Price is Right. If we go over or under, I don't know. Is that like $1? No.
I'll take that.
No.
$1 for a gallon.
I don't think anything will ever go down anymore. I think that is just not the trend. I think all the prices will continue to go up. So I'm going to say the national average gas price is going to be 3.17. I'm writing this down. Oh, okay. We have it on tape,
so that's
too.
Like so 10 cents.
I think it's
going
to go up. Yep. And okay. I also, people will argue, well, because gas isn't being used as much because of electric cars coming, I think that's actually going to hurt. I think the prices will go up. I don't think they're going to go down based on that. But that's just my opinion.
We will see. That's why they're called predictions.
That's a prediction. I like to sometimes pick things that are not as, logical, too. Like, And I would talk about the election coming up, but I'm not going to. Because no one ever talks about that, and I will never talk about that on the show. No. So we're not going to say who's going to win that. Do not care who's going to win. I do, but I'm not talking about it. Well, then, I think that we have wrapped up a beautiful 2023. I think it's been a good year on the whole. And I think now the countdown has begun to 2024, and it's now in the books. So let's just sum it all up. I want to wish all of you in Radio Land a very, very happy new year.
Happy New Year!
From all of us at the Scene with Doreen, we wish you a very happy new year and a healthy and blessed 2024. We want to thank our family, Beasley Media Group, Sam Spicer, and Laura Lewis, for keeping this train going. We want to thank all of our generous advertising partners who help us pay the bills. And I want to personally thank all of our past celebrity guests who have joined me on the airwaves this year to share their stories. And last but not least, we want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in each and every week. Stay tuned in 2024 for more great guests, heartfelt stories, and a whole lot of fun. See you in the new year.